I thought to like screech at people. I didn't think that that was going to get me anywhere. But if you could just sort of write stories about your boyfriend when he was pertinent to the story, or write about being gay when it was pertinent to the story, that seemed better. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. So I do what I do and I am who I am. We harm the world. We harm the children.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Australia's House okays fairness for queer couples, humorist David Sedaris is fully engulfed by 50, and blues, pop, and parody percolate in the audiophile. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Torres.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending September 27th, 2008. Australia's lower house passed legislation this week to grant a number of rights to gay and lesbian couples. The same-sex entitlements bill amends dozens of Commonwealth laws. It will remove discrimination against same-gender partners in areas such as immigration, taxation, veterans' pensions, and elder care. It also abolishes discrimination against children of same-gender couples by granting equal rights to both parents. The Labor government of Prime Minister Kevin Rudd managed to fend off a proposal by the opposition Liberal Party during debate to include language in the legislation to affirm marriage as heterosexual only. Even though that's already part of Australian law, opponents expressed concern that passage of the legislation would somehow undermine the institution of marriage. Rudd's government has called the law reforms an issue of basic fairness, while repeatedly voicing its opposition to full marriage equality in Australia. The future of the same-sex entitlements bill in the Senate, the country's upper house, is uncertain.
The protracted court battle over repeal of India's anti-gay penal code, Section 377, a 148-year-old remnant of British colonial rule that outlaws carnal intercourse against the order of nature with another person of the same sex, wrapped up this week. The non-governmental HIV/AIDS advocacy NAS Foundation concluded its arguments challenging the law before the Delhi High Court, saying it violated fundamental human rights. They also charged that Section 377 enshrines homophobia in India's legal system and legitimizes the continued repression of gay men and lesbians in Indian society. The government then asked for more time to reconcile the positions of its health and home ministries, each of which submitted contradictory affidavits with the court, drawing fire from the judges. The health ministry has strongly favored repeal to further its HIV/AIDS prevention efforts among one of the country's most vulnerable groups, while the Home Ministry supported retention of Section 377. The Law Ministry finally submitted the government's formal position late this week against repeal because, they wrote, such an action will disturb the law and order situation and might create unnecessary problems in the society. One ministry official also told reporters that it acts as a deterrent against those with sick minds. The court could issue its ruling before year's end.
A group of masked assailants attacked participants at what organizers called a queer festival last week in a cultural center in the downtown Serbian capital of Belgrade. At least four people were injured, one of whom suffered a concussion and had his arm broken. Police say they've detained two suspects. Organizers had used only a website to publicize the events because they feared such violence. They praised quick action by police to break up the melee and identified the assailants in a statement this week as members of OBRAS, a clerical fascist group that also organized the attack on Pride in 2001. This year's events, which ran from September 18th through 21st, included participants from Macedonia, Russia, the Netherlands, Germany, the UK, Italy, Croatia, Greece, Slovenia, and the U.S. An independent ombudsman charged with protecting the rights of citizens in Serbia has defended the right of LGBT people to hold public gatherings. But a European Commission report on human rights in the country last year called discrimination against sexual minorities widespread.
Organizers of the first LGBT Pride Festival in Bosnia have canceled remaining events following assaults on several participants on its opening night. At least 10 people were injured this week when about 70 protesters, many hooded and shouting, "Kill the gays," attacked people attending the festival at the Academy of Fine Arts in Sarajevo. They reportedly dragged some from their cars and beat others in the streets of the Bosnian capital. One of the victims, a Danish film producer, is reportedly in serious but stable condition in the hospital. The others received treatment for cuts and bruises and were released. Q Association leader Svetlana Djurkovic told a hastily arranged news conference the next night that her sponsoring organization was canceling the rest of the festival, which was to have run for 4 days, because of security concerns. About 250 people had attended the opening night event. Posters saying "Death to Gays" appeared on Sarajevo streets earlier in the month. Amnesty International and a number of European Union officials have criticized Bosnian authorities for failing to provide adequate security at the festival, despite strong indications that there was likely to be violence. Anti-lesbi-gay religious groups, mainly Muslim, who were offended that the festival was held during the holy month of Ramadan, had warned for weeks that they would demonstrate against the festival. Police said that they had arrested 5 of the assailants.
Elsewhere, the leader of an Iraqi LGBT advocacy group was brutally murdered this week. The 27-year-old university student, known only as Bashar, was assassinated in a barbershop in Baghdad. Members of a religious militia burst into the shop and, according to leading British gay activist Peter Tatchell, writing in the Guardian newspaper, sprayed his body with bullets at point-blank range. Bashar had organized safe houses in Baghdad for dozens of gays and lesbians seeking refuge from so-called religious police in his work for the London-based advocacy group of expatriates called Iraqi LGBT. A recently released United Nations report on human rights charged that while gays and lesbians are supposed to be protected by law in Iraq, LGBT residents must live in hiding or face extreme brutality. Ali Healy, who heads up the Iraqi LGBT group in London, told a conference on homophobia in the city last year that armed wings of the two main Shia parties that control the government of Iraq routinely round up men and women, primarily in Baghdad, who are suspected of being gay or lesbian. Those men and women are never heard from again. Healy blamed those militias for the murders of hundreds of gays and lesbians and accused the U.S.-led coalition of doing little to stop the killings.
In other news, a 21-year-old lesbian has become the first person to receive an official national identity card in Nepal, listing her gender as third rather than male or female. Bishnu Adhikari received the designation last week after refusing to accept a male identity card from the Kaski District Administration Office in central Nepal, where officials claimed that she appeared to be a man. The Blue Diamond Society, the Himalayan nation's most prominent LGBT organization, called the move a landmark victory for sexual and gender minorities in Nepal. LGBT people are routinely harassed by police and are victims of extortion and other abuse in the country's conservative and generally homophobic society. Meanwhile, the national government has unveiled a budget that provides funds to accord special priority to solve the core problems of Nepali people relating to sexual and gender minorities. It includes money for a common house for 50 people to live together for their socialization. Openly gay lawmaker Sunil Pant said in an email statement that this is a very symbolic but very positive change of not just attitudes, but also of helping marginalized and oppressed sexual and gender minorities. Pant, a well-known gay activist, was elected to Nepal's 601-member Constituent Assembly in May. The Assembly is drafting a new constitution while also functioning as parliament during the process.
A U.S. district court ruled this week that the Library of Congress illegally discriminated against a qualified transgender applicant when they withdrew a job offer after she revealed her plans to transition from male to female. The American Civil Liberties Union, which represented David Schroer, who has since adopted the first name of Diane, called the ruling groundbreaking. Judge James Robertson said that by revoking the job offer, the library had violated the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which bans bias based on gender. The Library of Congress unsuccessfully attempted to have the case dismissed, claiming that transgender people are not protected under that act. The now 52-year-old Schroer retired from the military as a special forces commander while she was still David, and had directed a classified organization formed to track international terrorists after the September 11th attacks. She had applied for a job with the Library of Congress as a terrorism research analyst. It is especially gratifying that the court has ruled that discriminating against someone for transitioning is illegal, Schroer said in a statement. I knew all along that the 25 years of experience I gained defending our country didn't disappear when I transitioned, she added. So it was hard to understand why I was being turned down for a job doing what I do best. She now heads a consulting firm that, ironically, has contracts with several federal agencies, including the Coast Guard and the U.S. Defense Department.
And finally, New Zealand not only protects many of its minorities from discrimination, it names its select committee rooms in Parliament for them. And this week, the newest of them was officially dedicated, the Rainbow Room, honoring the contributions of LGBT people to New Zealand society. It's decorated with framed photographs depicting the struggle for LGBT civil rights in the country, on loan from the National LGBT Archives. Other rooms in Parliament House have been named to honor minorities and other previously underrepresented groups, including the Maui Tiki Tiki Ataranga Room to celebrate Native New Zealanders, the Suffrage Room to salute the country's women winning the right to vote in the late 19th century, and the Asia Room to commemorate achievements by members of that community. New Zealand law bans discrimination against LGBT people in housing and employment, includes those communities in hate crime protections, and allows same-gender civil partnerships with virtually all the rights of marriage. House Speaker Margaret Wilson said during the Rainbow Room dedication ceremony that it is appropriate that it is with select committee rooms we recognize all members of our society and the paths they have taken to full citizenship with equal rights.
That's News Wrap for the week ending September 27th, 2008, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm John Torres.
Being gay without shame, we won't be afraid to go knocking on another door marked 666 later in the program.
It's striking to me, right, because I'm 51. So at the time that I grew up, if you had the word boyfriend in a book, then your book would be in the homosexual section. Well, there wouldn't even be a homosexual, so your book wouldn't even be in the library, right? And now you can just be at the bookstore at large. Just in the 50 years since I've been alive, who could have imagined those changes?
That's where we left off last week with public radio humorist David Sedaris talking about change and sharing experiences he's had touring the world with his new collection of essays, When You're Fully Engulfed in Flames. During his recent tour of Australia, Brisbane-based This Way Out correspondent John Frame was self-avowedly charmed by the self-effacing author.
I gather that you've never been sort of inclined to be a street-marching, flag-waving gay activist, but I believe that you actually do a power of good by infusing your work with just unflinching honesty regarding your sexuality. Do you get feedback that that's true?
Well, I remember when I first started on the radio in the United States, people would say, you know, you need to get on the radio and you need to talk about AIDS and you need to talk about... But I always found like that lecturing at people like that does absolutely no good. You know, when I started on the radio, there were 10 million people that listened to this radio network within the United States. It's a huge, I mean, for me anyway, like coming from someone who was used to reading in front of groups of 50, I mean, to go from that to 10 million, that's... But I thought to like screech at people, I didn't think that that was going to get me anywhere. But if you could just sort of write stories about your boyfriend when he was pertinent to the story, or write about being gay when it was pertinent to the story, that seemed better, because then you would have people say, well, there's that guy on the radio, and I like him, and he's a homosexual, so I don't see what all the big deal is about. That seemed a better way for me to go about it. You know, I mean, people have their own different ways of making things work, but if there was any way for me, that was the way to go about it. The same way as, like, I think of, like, Ellen DeGeneres just got married, right? And you've got to realize her audience in America, it's not like lesbians run home to watch Ellen DeGeneres. It's like people's moms watch Ellen DeGeneres. So when Ellen like gets married to another woman, that's doing more. You know, here's somebody that makes people's moms laugh. You know, here's someone that people's moms trust. And all of a sudden she's getting married, and then maybe for the first time they can sort of look at that and say, well, yeah, I mean, if it made Ellen happy, You know, maybe it'll make my daughter's third grade teacher happy, too.
Yeah, it certainly, it'd be remarkable if the next step then from the general public thinking that it's okay to admit that you're same-sex attracted to all teachers being able to be open and honest in the workplace too. It's a shame that they're still very much having to fight against that.
Oh, people just freak out when it's like with children, don't they? I mean, they just get, you know, which a lot of that goes back to the idea that the secret agenda, you know, like, I know, we'll work our way into schools, and that way we can recruit. We can't have children of our own, so we have no way of making future homosexuals. But we can twist young minds and get them to agree. And then we can pounce upon them. Which is just, when you hear things like that, it's just so ridiculous. I had this author escort. When you go on a book tour, you have somebody who picks you up at the airport and drives you around. And it's usually a doctor's wife, right? I had one in the United States, and clearly she hadn't read my book. She started talking about politics, and then she said, seriously, David, she said, you know, with this gay wedding and gay marriage and stuff, and she said, what's the next? People say, oh, I want to marry my dog, you know, or, oh, I want to marry a three-year-old child. That's the next step. But just that anyone would make that connection seemed like next stop, bestiality. I just... Yep. But it was kind of good because, you know, like, you know, you realize most of your friends think the way that you do. And so it's actually really good to get out in the world and realize, oh, like, a lot of people think this other way. And just to hear this woman talking about it, and it was fascinating to me.
Well, you're right. It's nothing to be afraid of. And it's not as if gay lives are extraordinary. You actually describe yourself and your partner, Hugh, as being two decent people trapped in a rather dull play. You're actually now, you're past 50, and you've taken the big leap. A good quarter of When You Are Engulfed in Flames deals with giving up smoking. It's a marking point, isn't it, 50? Because I'm 53, and you're thinking, well, will I get another 50?
Well, you know, it was awful to be 50, but I was never... You know, I figured, like, those people who were, like, super conscious of their bodies and, like excessively vain, I always thought, well, you know, we'll see what happens when you turn 50. But I was never that way, and it was awful to be 50. It was just awful. Like, I just felt like I became a ghost. You know, you become invisible. And I don't mean invisible like, oh, no one's going to look at you across the room and think, oh, I want to have sex with him, because no one's thought that about me in 30 years. But I mean that you become... You know, like to a younger person, they'd be like, it's just a bunch of old people over there. You just sort of become that. And I was in Paris a few weeks ago, and this guy got lost. He was looking for something. He was riding a bike, and he stopped me, and he asked me where La Motte Piquet was. So I told him, you know, we were speaking French, and I said, oh, it's over there, and, you know, cross that road, and it's up there. 10 minutes later, he came back. He said, I couldn't find it. And I said, well, I have a map here, and... So I'm showing him on the map, and he says, oh, I detect an accent. Where are you from? And I said, oh, I'm from the United States. He says, what do you do for a living? And anyway, I was telling a friend about that later, and she said, oh, that was classic. Like, he was trying to pick you up. And it's like, I'm 50. Like, the only one who tries to pick you up when you're 50 is 80. Like, nobody wants to pick up somebody who's 50. I think he just wanted my wallet.
David Sedaris, have a fantastic time while you're here and the rest of your trip in Australia, and every success with this already top-selling book. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
David Sedaris' latest book is called When You Are Fully Engulfed in Flames. He spoke with our John Frame in Brisbane.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and you're listening to This Way Out, the Gay and Lesbian International News Magazine. That was without cue cards, people.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
A new This Way Out update has been posted on our website. For recent programming information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to www.thiswayout.org.
It's Music by the Numbers, with a third of three, a singer's first, and a 666 in this edition of The Audiophile.
Since The day I was born, I knew I was not the same as the other little girls in my neighborhood who laughed and called me names. You know, I didn't like dolls, I didn't like dresses. My shame turned into fear. But now times have changed and I love being queer. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it. I say I'm here now and I'm queer now. You better get over it.
As you can tell, this album is very out of the closet. I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Christopher David Trentum, and you're listening to Audiophile. Gay Adegbolola is one-third of the blues group Sapphire, the Uppity Women Blues, and now has released her third solo album called Gay Without Shame.
Well, I'm a professional blues woman. I've been doing this for about 30 years, but this time I wanted my blues community to honestly see me and to gain understanding about my struggle for acceptance. And at the same time, I want the GLBTQ community to experience the magic healing power of the blues.
You know, I was drinking at the fountain. I was drinking at the fountain of life. I could drink from the black one. I couldn't get near the white. Now I'm still drinking at the fountain. And you know it's still the fountain of life. I can drink at the straight one, but I can't take a wife.
Find out more about the album Gay Without Shame by Gay Adegbolola at www.adegbolola.com. And of course, I'll spell that for you. That's www.adegbolola.com.
The debut album by Barry Gould is called Knockin' on Another Door.
I didn't wanna go to bed. I needed time to clear my head. So west in Hollywood I went, walking and running. I stopped at Mickey's for a drink. The waitress was a man, I think. She said my feet are killing me, walking and running behind. Everybody's in a rush, passing but not catching up. Time's a train and we're all on the bus.
This album is infectious, intelligent pop that is well produced and, gee, leaves you feeling better. That's quite a gift.
There are songs that talk about the struggles of trying to succeed. There are songs that talk about being gay. There are songs about an ex-boyfriend. There are songs about my dogs and how much they mean to me. I think the CD shows who I am, which was sort of my point in recording it. I wanted to have something that if I was to get hit by a bus tomorrow, that you'd be able to listen to this and say, that was Barry. And that's what I was trying to accomplish.
And the world keeps a spinning around and around. We're dizzy from all of the sights and the sounds. I found out I'm stronger when still. So I do what I do and I am who I am. I'm busy being the best that I can.
You can learn more about Barry Gould's album, Knockin' on Another Door, at www.barrygould.com, and Gould is spelled G-O-O-L-D.
Don't I look rich, dancing to share? Kenneth Cole's shoes on the ground, chest shaved and bare. Send in the clones.
And the Kinsey Six are back with their irreverent humor and tight harmonies. Irwin Keller, who plays Winnie, gives us an update.
The new album is called 666. It's our sixth CD. and it's our least forgivable. It's got some really nasty, outrageous parodies and some interesting original songs, a lot of political stuff in this one, and most important, it has a lot of naked pictures of the Kinsey Six.
There comes a time for a Halliburton call, when the world must come together for guns. There are people dying, oh, so it's time to send more arms. Give bombs the greatest gift of all.
Let's keep the third world spending day by day.
$30 billion in sales is not chump change.
If they want food, let God make them famine free.
But the truth, you know, guns are all they need.
We arm the world, we harm the children, but giving arms will make us higher pay, so let's start giving.
Find out more about the outrageous CD 666 at www.kinsey6.com. That's www.kinsey6.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at our new address, 594 Sawdust Road, number 273, Spring, Texas, 77380, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Christopher David Trentum, J.D. Doyle, and Chris Wilson. I'm Christopher David Trentum.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
If you're a dumb and hound, Bin Laden or Hussein, dumb a who, we'll sell you arms, where you'll turn on us again.
All is well in this icy chance, to arrange to make more guns.
We'll stand hand in hand, we'll say that we're so.
We are third world.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, John Torres, Michael LeBeau, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, John Frame, Sherry Lund, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Gay Adegbalola, Barry Gould, and the Kinsey Six performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to read an exciting update about podcasts of your favorite international LGBT radio show. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of all our programs there. To receive our weekly email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KKFI, Kansas City, Missouri, CFUR, Prince George, British Columbia, WYEP, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Do stay tuned.